There. The gate's closed. No one can get in or out without going past us.
Yeah, but why are we doing all this? We don't usually shut the gate at night.
Oh, there's some scoundrel by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus in Damascus. And King Aretas wants him captured. In fact, he's promised a reward for anyone who captures him.
He must be a murderer, or worse.
No, Junus, nothing like that. I guess he's riled up the Jewish leaders here in Damascus, and they want him dead. You know how King Aretas favors the Jews.
Oh, who cares? I'd just like to get my hands on that reward.
Well, then, keep your eyes open.
Shh! Did you hear something?
A rustling. Likely just a jackal among the rocks, feeding on the rubbish.
Or perhaps Saul of Tarsus. We better check.
Won't hurt. You go around from behind. And also, check those bushes. Yes. There is something moving in the shadows.
Now, Dakar, get ready.
Hello, boys and girls, moms and dads. We're so glad you've joined us for another story from the time of the apostles.
And what an exciting time it was. A time of great miracles, of adventures for God, and of course, of great dangers.
Uncle Dan, in our last story, Saul of Tarsus, the one who had persecuted the young church, had just become a follower of Jesus. Is that right?
That's right, Aunt Sue. But more than that, he became a great preacher for Jesus and started telling people right in Damascus about the good news of hope and eternal life that Jesus brings. Well, that didn't set too well with many of the Jewish leaders in Damascus. In fact, they became very angry. So they went to King Aretas and asked him to have Saul of Tarsus arrested and done away with.
But that didn't happen, did it?
Almost. You remember some fellow believers, during the night, let Paul over the wall in a basket. Because the gates and walls of the city were carefully guarded, it was a very dangerous thing to do. And even after Paul got over the wall, he still had a long way to go to safety. And many other problems faced him in Jerusalem.
And that's the beginning of our story today. What do you call it, Uncle Dan?
Today's story really begins a new chapter in the life of the early Christian church. So I call it...
The Turning Point.
All right, Dakar. Get your sword ready.
I'm ready. Get him!
There it goes. Just a dog.
Look at him go.
Too bad it wasn't Saul of Tarsus.
Yes.
We could have had a rich reward.
After being let down over the wall in a basket, Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul, hid in the shadows until the guards passed on. Then he quietly slipped away until he was out of sight of Damascus. I'm sure he looked back for a time upon that ancient city, bathed in the moonlight. There he had been sent by the Jerusalem Council on a mission that would have earned him much honor and respect. But because of Jesus Christ, he was fleeing that city like a thief. Before him was a long journey over the desert to Jerusalem to face the believers he had so relentlessly persecuted.
There's the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus called his disciples. How I wish I could have been there. But I'm so glad he's called me now. How could I have been so blind to the truth about our Savior? How could our leaders in Jerusalem have been so blind too, after seeing his miracles? But I'm sure they'll believe me. They must believe me. I was one of them.
After about 10 days of traveling, Paul again looked down from Mount Scopus and beheld the beloved city of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, how I love you. If only your people would now follow Jesus as Messiah, what a glorious city you'd be. Time for evening prayers. And there are those rocks where Stephen died. And I gave permission for him to be stoned. I can still see the light surrounding his face. He was thinking of me when he prayed, "Lord, forgive them for this sin." And if only I could take Stephen's place.
Quickly the news spread that Saul was once again in Jerusalem.
Saul of Tarsus is back. The persecutor is back.
What? It's been 3 years since he left Jerusalem. I was praying he'd stay away forever. When I think of him, I can feel the whip on my back again.
I remember the face of my wife after his cohorts got through whipping her. Oh, well, now he's looking for Peter.
Likely to throw him into prison.
The story is that Saul no longer is against us. In fact, I've heard that he became a Christian, was baptized in Damascus.
Ah, likely just the story he made up to come into our meetings as a spy. I don't trust him any more than I trust Herod.
But what if he is really a fellow disciple now, like us?
The apostles, especially Peter, will know. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to Peter?
Of course, I was there. They dropped dead. Well, maybe that... Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? If Saul of Tarsus lies to Peter and then drops dead. I hate to say it, but I like the thought of it.
If I were Saul, I'd be very, very careful.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing with that plate?
All right. Is this copper from Cyprus?
Yes, I personally picked it out. Anything wrong?
No. I guess it's just the hot day and the dust. We could use some rain.
I'll go get us some fresh water. Be right back. Joel, come in. I'll be back in a few minutes with some water for all of us.
Good.
Okay.
I just wanted to get out of the sun.
I hear Saul of Tarsus is back.
I'm afraid so. In fact, I saw him this morning at the street of the tent makers. He was asking about Peter.
He still looks for followers of the way, hmm? I suppose he'll be asking about me and Barnabas, too.
Well, the apostles often meet at your house. That would concern me.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong?
By the door.
Saul of Tarsus!
Now, don't be afraid, brothers. I wanted to speak to you in private.
The last time you spoke to me in private, Saul, I paid for it with 39 lashes to my back.
I know. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
You ask for forgiveness? You no longer persecute believers in Jesus.
But I'm now a follower of the way myself, and I need your help.
Who can trust you, Saul?
I've come looking for Barnabas.
He's not here.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Saul.
Be careful, Brother Barnabas. He comes in disguise, seeking to trap us with his tricks.
Perhaps you'd better leave, Joel. I'll speak to Saul.
Gladly.
Some fresh water, Saul?
You offer me water?
Our Lord told us to give even our enemies a cup of water in his name.
I'm no longer your enemy, Barnabas. I'm now a follower of Jesus, like you. I've come back to Jerusalem to talk to those who were with Jesus, especially Peter. Now, believe me.
We've heard some strange tales from Damascus.
You went there to jail believers.
Yes, yes, that's true. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to me with a great light, and he said to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And from that moment, I knew I was his.
And you were baptized?
By Ananias. And then I preached to the unbelieving Jews there, telling them about the Lord. But they'd have none of it, and they tried to have me captured. My fellow believers risked their lives by helping me escape. Oh, Barnabas, believe me, I love the Lord with all my soul.
Praise the Lord. Brother Saul, you are now our brother.
You believe me?
I believe you. I've often prayed for you, even while you were persecuting us.
Oh, thank you.
And God has answered our prayers. Come, Mark. Saul, this is my cousin John Mark. Let's embrace our brother in Christ, and then we can take him to see Peter.
Yes.
Barnabas, whose name means the son of encouragement, took Paul to the apostles and told them how the former persecutor had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and about his powerful preaching in the name of Jesus.
Brothers, we believe that God can change hearts. Peter, you yourself know this, and John, so do you. Can we not believe that a great miracle has happened to Saul of Tarsus? The man who so violently persecuted us is now a follower of Jesus and our brother.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Jesus is truly Lord of all.
Brother Saul, we offer you our hand of fellowship. You are now one of us, chosen by the Lord himself.
Brothers, can you forgive me for those persecutions? Often my mind's in a turmoil because of the pain I brought to the believers. My heart aches when I think of ones like Stephen.
We forgive you, Brother Saul, and remember this. Jesus took your sins on himself and died on the cross so that you might live for righteousness. By his wounds, Brother Saul, you have been healed.
Oh, how wonderful is our Lord Jesus. Brothers, you must tell me all you've seen and heard when you were with him.
All the books in the world could not contain all our memories of him and all the truth he spoke to us. We cannot even grasp it all yet.
But just tell me what you can. I must know.
For several weeks, Paul met with the apostles, especially with Peter. He took in all the marvelous stories of Jesus, the sermons he had preached, the miracles, the instructions he gave his followers. Paul's keen mind grasped this information like no one else could. By the end of 2 weeks, Paul was so on fire for Jesus that he could not keep silent anymore. Soon, Paul was preaching in the synagogues. But now he was telling people that Jesus Christ was the Messiah.
Now, what is this Saul of Tarsus up to now?
He used to tell us that this Jesus was an imposter.
Yeah. Now he tells us he's our Messiah.
He had turned his back on our tradition.
He is a greater danger to our faith than any of the others.
Listen to me, brothers. This same Jesus whom I preached against, whose followers I dragged before the council and had them whipped, has appeared to me also. He is the Messiah, the beloved of Israel.
Away with you, you traitor. You no longer love Israel.
But brothers,
we ought to do to you what you did to Stephen.
The prophets say that one like you should also be stoned to death.
Away with him!
Brothers, we must first take this matter before the council and get their approval.
Must we wait to do away with this traitor, this blasphemer?
Yes, it is the law. And we must also be careful not to get the Romans on our backs. But don't worry. We'll get this blasphemer. There are ways, and soon he'll be dead.
Guards, make sure the doors are tightly closed. Good. Brothers, we have a new problem among the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Hmm? It seems that Saul of Tarsus... Yes, the one we expected so much from. Yes. Now has turned traitor to the cause of Israel.
Traitor, but he was so zealous.
What is he up to now?
We have Lucius and Gracchus here from the Grecian synagogue. They will tell us firsthand what Saul the traitor is up to. Lucius.
Brothers, we have heard him several times now, and each time he gets more bold. Now he says that this Jesus of Nazareth is not only our Messiah, but also the Son of God.
Blasphemy! He must be done away with.
Away with the traitor!
You can't have such heresy in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Quiet! Quiet, please, brothers. Gracchus, you have a suggestion, I believe.
Yes, Your Honor. Saul of Tarsus himself showed us what to do in such a case of blasphemy when Stephen came to our synagogue.
You mean stone him?
Saul has many enemies, both among the sect of the Nazarenes and among the faithful Jews. It would be easy to stir them up against Saul.
Do not do it in the temple.
Of course not, Your Honor. Then again, perhaps at night, one of Saul's many enemies will use a dagger.
We'll do what has to be done. But remember, the council has no part in it. You are on your own. But you do have our blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Because of the rejection by his own people, Paul felt deep sorrow. One day he went to the temple to pray and worship, seeking for strength from God.
Oh Lord, I would give my life if only my own people would believe that Jesus is our Messiah and our Savior. Please, these are my people. I can't give them up, even if they would take my life.
While Paul was praying, Jesus again appeared to him in a vision.
What is it, Lord?
Hurry and leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't believe you when you give them my message.
But, Lord, they certainly know that I threw into prison and beat those who believed in you. I went into synagogue after synagogue to arrest them. And when your martyr Stephen was killed, I was standing there agreeing to it.
and I held the coats of those who stoned him.
Leave Jerusalem. I will send you far away to the Gentiles.
Yes, Lord.
Sadly, Paul left the temple, often glancing back, his heart near breaking for his people. Paul went to the disciples and told them of the vision in the temple.
Then you must leave Jerusalem immediately, Brother Saul.
But how can I lead my people? If they don't believe in me, whom will they believe?
You must obey the Lord's command.
But
it is dangerous here.
Peter is right, Saul. The cutthroats with their daggers are everywhere. Go and do not be fearful. The Lord shall use you in a much better way someplace else.
Well, he said he'd send me to the Gentiles.
Then that is your mission, Saul. The Lord will lead you.
Come, brothers. We have some friends and horses waiting. Saul,
yes?
You can ride with them to Caesarea, and there board a ship for Tarsus.
But must I leave now?
It's best, and we must be very careful. Stick close to your friends as you leave Jerusalem. Remember, there are daggers in the shadows.
I think we're far enough from Jerusalem to rest a bit.
Yes. Well, there's a pond nearby. There. Let's give the horses a break.
Are you all right, Brother Saul?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. I can barely see Jerusalem in the moonlight.
Well, be glad you're leaving it. Nothing but problems for us believers in that city.
May it be God's will that I return soon. And if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I forget you, O Jerusalem.
Lift anchor! All aboard for Tarsus! Unfurl the sail!
Paul sailed to Tarsus, his boyhood hometown. It would be many years, perhaps 10 or 12, before he would again be united with the apostles. In the meantime, he would work for the Lord in Tarsus and in the towns of the mountains. He would brave fierce storms, steep mountain passes, angry mobs, sun-blistered roads and deserts to take the message of Jesus Christ to many others. Meanwhile, the young Christian church had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and grew in strength and numbers. The believers learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. From Jerusalem, Peter and the other apostles and evangelists traveled to many places, encouraging new Christian churches along the way. One such place was the town of Lydda, just east of the Mediterranean sand dunes. It was spring when Peter traveled to Lydda, through a countryside filled with groves of almonds, pomegranates, olives, apricots, mulberry, and sycamores.
Ah, Peter, it's so beautiful and peaceful here in the plains of Sharon, compared to the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem.
It certainly is. Reminds me of the Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
Yes.
For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
We should be coming to Lydda soon. I think it's just around the bend.
Oh, I'm anxious to visit our brothers and sisters there. They've been very faithful.
Yes, it's amazing how the good news of Jesus is spreading throughout Israel.
Throughout Israel and other places, many other places.
Wherever Peter went, the crowds gathered to listen to his words and to witness the miracles.
It's Peter from Jerusalem.
Come quickly, Peter is healing in the town square.
The followers of the way have come to Lydda.
Aren't you coming, Aeneas?
Oh, what is the commotion about, Clopas?
It's Peter from Jerusalem. He has come here and he is healing the blind and the lame.
No, I don't think it's possible.
We'll carry you on your bed to the town square.
Well, I've been this way for 8 years. I don't know if it's possible to do anything now. There isn't a single muscle in my legs that I can move anymore.
Come on. You'll at least want to hear Peter. Nathan, Samuel, come help me carry Aeneas to see Peter.
Come, friends. Jesus has saved you from your sins and has redeemed you. Come and listen to the good news of our Savior.
That's him. That's the Apostle Peter.
Yes, Aeneas, that's Peter. We'll try to get you closer. Excuse us, please. Please, let us through.
It is this Jesus of Nazareth who was nailed to the cross for our sins, that we might be healed from our sins and illnesses.
Please, sir.
Yes, my good man.
Sir, have mercy on me. I've been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years.
You need be no longer. What is your name?
Aeneas, sir, son of Abraham.
Aeneas, Jesus Christ has healed you. Get up and make your bed.
Get up? Yes, I can. My legs, my back, I feel the strength flowing into them. My legs, look, they're strong like an ox. Look, I can get up. I can even jump.
Will you look at that? Aeneas can stand out.
Jump and run.
The mighty power of God is among us.
Praise God.
How can I ever thank you, Peter? Praise the Lord.
Listen to me, friends. The deliverer who brings you healing is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, our Messiah. He also brings you healing of heart, forgiveness of sins. Come to him now, for this is the day of salvation. Follow Jesus and you will have eternal life.
Yes, yes, we do.
We will do all you tell us.
We will.
He is our Messiah, our mighty deliverer.
Glory to God in the highest.
The Holy Spirit led the apostles from place to place, performing miracles of healing and leading people to Jesus Christ. And so the Christian church grew in many towns and cities. But much of the world still did not know its Savior. Soon, however, the Christian church would begin to send its apostles to all parts of the earth. The good news of Jesus Christ could no longer be held back. The turning point had come, and the young church would conquer the world.